about making sure that I got my heart ready and everything's right in my life. So we're going to look at, spend probably 5 or 6 or 7 weeks looking at different right things. We're going to look at the right heart this morning. I'm going to look at the right conscience, the right prayer life, the right priorities, the right this, the right that, all this type of the right motives. And these are not going to be anything that you probably say, well, that's new. I've never heard that before. It's going to be more reminders. It's going to be more taking out our heart this morning and looking at our heart and saying, okay, is my heart the way the Bible says it's the right type of heart to have? We want to make sure we're headed on the right path. I know that one of the things that frustrate me more than anything is, besides getting lost, I don't like getting lost, number one, because if I get lost and I have to tell somebody I got lost because I need help, and I have to admit it. I know that, you know, men are supposed to be the stereotype. They don't like to stop and ask for directions. I hate getting lost where I'm ready to stop and ask for directions or ready to look it up quicker than most people are because I don't like getting lost. But one thing I really dislike doing is not only being lost, but actually going down the wrong path. You know, this is the right one. I guess that's kind of like getting lost, but you go all the way at the end and you realize, man, this isn't even the right direction. This isn't even the right place. This is not where I thought I would be. And in our Christian lives, I think sometimes we get to that spot. We get to the end and we're like, why am I here? This is not where I thought I'd be in 10 years of my Christian life or 15 years of my Christian life or 20 years of my Christian life. This is not where I was anticipating. I thought I would have peace. I thought I would see fruit from my labor. I thought I'd see my family living for God. I thought all these different things. I thought I was on the right path. How in the world did I get to this spot? So I think it's good to every once in a while take out a little inventory of certain things and just say, am I in the right spot? I'm on a path, but am I on the right path? Do I have the right heart? Is this morning's lesson. And what's the right heart? And I think in Matthew chapter number 5, you look in verse number 8, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I like that verse because I want to see God. And then we're going to look in a little while about the destination of the pure heart. You know, we're not going to physically see God in this body. No man ever will. Only, you know, Moses got to see the glory of God in the sense, the hinder parts of God. But no one's, well, so that, what does that mean? I want to see God. I want to see God work. I want to see God moving in my life. I want to experience God. I want, this Christian life is not just about, checking off of boxes of lists of things. I dress right. I act right. I go to the right church. Those are all good things, but at the same time, do we truly have a pure heart? Make sure our path, make sure we're going to end up, because I think in the end, we all want a Christian life that is not, that's not lackadaisical. In the end, we all want a Christian life that is going to be producing fruit and the fruits of the spirits in our lives, and we want to see victory in our lives, and we want to see God blessing. We want to see God working. So here's the thought here this morning, is the lesson is we're going to check some different things. Like I said, nothing unusual, nothing that you're going to be like, wow, pastor studied long and hard or read lots of books to figure that out. It's things that we've learned before, but we need to be reminded of. Do we have the right type of heart? Because all of us are here on Sunday morning, in a Sunday school class, at a church like ours, we're here and we probably have, at least in our mind, we're going the right way. At least in our mind, you know what? I'm good because I'm doing this, this, and this. But is our heart right? Because I think you can be in church and I think you could be at the right church and even looking the right way and even acting the right way and still not be on the right path. You got some things right, but our heart is away from it. And so we're going to look at some of the inner things, like our the right heart and the right conscience and the right motives and the right priorities. We're going to look at those things to make sure that we're actually on the right path. It's not just about having the outward right. Let's make sure the inward's right too. Wow. Let's look here at our lesson. The mature Christian is one who really knows that experiences and possessions apart from character in our hearts are empty illusions. True joy comes from a heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, a mature Christian understands that. You know, the world that we live in today, they tell us experience, they tell us possessions bring happiness. And some of the people that have what the world would call the greatest experiences and the best possessions are some of the most miserable people in the world. Some people that are Christians and are believers and been saved for many years, sometimes they can be the most miserable people in the world. And sometimes they can be the most miserable to be around too, both Christian and non-Christian. Why is that? Because they don't have true joy. A travel agency will tell you that excitement and travel is the fulfillment of your joy. Anybody ever went to a timeshare tour before? What do? They keep on telling you, you need this. Doesn't your family deserve this? And they keep on hammering it home to you. This will bring true joy and excitement until you get the first bill when it comes to paying that yearly fee that you can actually get cheaper prices besides that. So, whatever. It's a lie. The brand new vehicle. If you get this vehicle, you're going to have joy. And it is good to go on a vacation. It is good to have a vehicle that you might enjoy. Sometimes people talk about accomplishments being the thing that brings true joy. But in all reality, those things might last for a little while, but true joy is found in Jesus Christ. Why don't we have that then? Where is the joy at? See, that's where we come to that. We're going down this path of our Christian life sometimes, and we don't have joy is because we're not on the right path. Yeah, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven, but we've taken different roads. We've taken different thoughts. I think about, talking to people, and even in my own life, I've even asked my wife before, remember when we didn't have as much? I know sometimes people come up to me and says, you talk about not having much as a kid. When I was a kid, we were really poor, and then began talking about how poor they were. And I said, well, it's not really a competition. I was just saying that when I was growing up, I have more than I did when I was growing up. Our kid, there's different things that when I was growing up, for different reasons, we just didn't have a lot, which is okay. I'm not complaining, but remember when we didn't used to have as much as we do today? You might say, well, I don't have as much as I used to. Well, that's okay, but most people, it's the other way around. Most people, God's blessed, and we have more. Some people talk about not even having a bathroom at their house when they were a kid. They had to go out to the outhouse. Thank the Lord for indoor plumbing, right? Bathrooms are good. Thank the Lord for air conditioning and heat. I still remember the day that my parents got a little air conditioner window for their bedroom, and that's it. And that was okay, but I remember that. And if we were good, we could sleep in the floor in their bedroom at nighttime if we were good. If not, but remember central air. I mean, some people think it's too cool in here, and some people think it's too hot. Remember when we didn't have as much? And then you come to this question, would you be willing to live anywhere? And this is a question about the right heart. Would you really be willing to live if God called you to go over to somewhere and live in a mud hut? Would you be willing to do that? And when you give your life and heart over to God, that's the heart that says, I'll do what you told me to do. Well, God would never ask me to do that. Well, I'm not asking you if God would ever ask you or tell you, because I can't figure God out. Maybe you can, but I can't always understand what he's doing. It gets confusing to me sometimes. But me and my wife talked about that before. Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to live anywhere? And I like to say, if the Lord was in it, I'd be willing to do that. Whatever he wants. Do I hope he does? Calls me? No, I don't really want to. But at the same time, if that's what God desires and what God wants. So what are you getting at? Well, if we really truly have the right heart, if we really truly have a pure heart, when things did not have as much, I hear stories sometimes, especially from the older people, when they talked about they didn't have much and all these other things and how things were so good back then. And nowadays, they're not as content with what they have now. Things were good when we didn't have as much. How does that work? We've learned something, that joy doesn't come from things. Joy comes from Jesus Christ, knowing the will of God and doing the will. See, Pastor, that is completely opposite to what the world teaches. It sure is. The world will show you all these advertisements. You go to the mall, and they'll show you all these things you're living without. How in the world did you ever live without these things? And you know what? True joy comes from Jesus Christ. Let's think about a couple things when it comes to our heart. The first thing, we'll look at the definition of a pure heart. Definition of the pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When God uses the term heart, I think we're going back to the basics to help us understand something. He's not talking about a good heart and the fact that we have a healthy heart. He's not talking about the idea about the organ that pumps the blood. It's not referencing the muscle that pumps the blood through the body. Instead, it means the whole inner self, the totality of the innermost being. You think about the different examples in the Bible that they use this idea of the heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's not talking about the muscle there. What is it talking about? It's talking about our innermost being, the center of our life, or inner self, the whole self, the totality of our innermost being. That's when it's saying that. Some people, it's in a reference to what goes in our mind, in our heart. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, that's a verse in John chapter 14. It talks about, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. He's not saying, look, don't let your heart get worked up, because if you get too excited, you might have a heart attack. No. He's saying emotionally, he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let the center of your life be troubled. He says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, the center of his life. So that's what we're looking at today. The center of our lives, our hearts, are they pure? You think about what it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. If you're here today and you're saved and on your way to heaven, there was a day in your life that you trusted in Christ by your heart through faith. It was the innermost. You looked at who you were. You saw yourself as a sinner and saw that our sin offended God and that we are separated from God. And you say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I'm asking you to save me. I believe that Jesus Christ came and he paid my sin debt that I could not pay. And that's with our heart we say that. You know, confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. It is not just something we say with our lips. It's something that we mean with our whole heart and our whole being, is that we believe by faith that Jesus Christ died and he paid my sin debt for me and I'm going to heaven. So we understand what the definition of a pure heart is. And when you're talking to somebody, just because you can get somebody to say a few words doesn't mean that they're a Christian. It means that when they see their need and recognize what Christ did and receive what Christ did with their heart. Now remember the development of the pure heart. You know, the heart is deceitful. The world that we live in today is tainted. And the word pure is not used very much in our tainted society, but the word of God is perfect. The word of God is pure. Scripture tells us that God wants our hearts to become purified through his word. Being pure means having no guile. A pure heart is a heart that is sincere and without hypocrisy. That's what we have down here, is sincere and without hypocrisy. Blessed are the pure in heart. I read stories of sometimes people who cast accusations at others, and I hear them make this accusation, but deep down inside, they have the same issues and the same problems. I remember reading years ago about this naval officer that was wearing medals, and then there was another colonel from the army that says he's wearing medals he did not deserve. And you know what? That man was so convicted by that and so ashamed of that, he went and took his own life. Years later, it came out that that same colonel was doing the exact same thing, wearing medals that he was not supposed to wear. He was accusing somebody of something that his own heart was struggling with. And that's why we need to be very, very careful. You know, the Bible talks, ye that are spiritual, you go to a person for a matter of restoration. But so often people are not interested in seeing people get right. They're interested in seeing people just come to their way of thinking. Christians can be just as guilty as for acting as if everything is right with God. But Jesus says, God says in his word in Jeremiah 32:39, and I will give them one heart. God says when you're right with him, there will be a singleness of mind. God says when you're right with him, he will give you what you need. Even the psalmist says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. One of the greatest challenges in our Christian life is this development, or this is this development of a pure heart. We must have a heart that's fixed on God. We must have a heart that is vertically right so we can be horizontally right. If my heart is right with God this way, you know what? The other relationships will work out. My family won't understand. My work won't understand. God will work all that other stuff out. Sometimes it'll be tough and sometimes it'll be hard. But if we truly want a pure heart, there's no compromising. Another thing is, in this development of a pure heart, we got to remember something, that the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you think about it, feelings and instincts cannot be trusted. That's how we live our lives. How in the world do we? This is a way of thinking. We must change our way of thinking. Our heart, according to the Bible, can be misled. It can mislead us because we are fallen creatures tainted with a sin nature. Think about what the Bible says here in James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious, what does seem to be religious mean? It means that they look the right part. They act the right thing. They wear the right thing. They say the right things. They seem to be religious. They seem to be right with God. And then he says, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. And this is a connection that all the religious things that they do, if their heart is not right, because out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, if their heart is not right, all this religious stuff they do, it really doesn't matter. You mean, Pastor, you're saying that if my heart's wrong, that I should just go ahead and do all the wrong things too? No, we should get our heart right. But what it's saying here is that it can deceive ourselves into believing. So we want to take our heart out this morning and look at our heart and say, am I on the right path? Because 10 years from now, I don't want to end up being sitting in a spot and in a church to where I'm not seeing God work. I'm not seeing God bless. And I'm not seeing God in my own life work and move. So let's take out our heart and say, okay, is it pure? Is it right with God? And then you look at, am I letting my heart deceive me? I know I got the religious, I got the outward act like the Pharisees did. I got that all figured out. But just like the Pharisees' religion was in vain, our religion's in vain. That's why we need to look at our heart. How do we develop one of these pure hearts? And I think it's important to remember, once again, these are things we've heard before, but these are things that we need to be reminded of. And this week, my challenge is for you to maybe every day pray these verses and go to God and say, God, I want a pure heart. I want a clean heart. Lord, search me. I know many pastors pray that verse every single day. Lord, search me. See, we can shoot our hearts with religious Novocaine. I didn't write that. I thought that was kind of neat. Giving ourselves the sensation that everything is okay when it is not. I cannot be the spiritual judge in my own heart. We pat ourselves on the back sometimes because I do this right and because I do this right and because I do this right. My heart cannot be so deceitful. My heart cannot be so wicked. I can't really be wrong with God if I do all these other things right. I really can't be wrong with God. I go to Faith Baptist Church. I really can't be wrong with God. I've been saved for how many years? And we shoot our hearts with religious Novocaine, but we cannot be the judge of our own heart. We must say, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. It's important to get this when you're close to God. This is a very precious time. When you really are truly close to him and have a pure heart and you see him working. You have a desire to want to be near him all the time. Even a wrong joke or a wrong attitude or a family argument, it can mess up that fellowship and break up that fellowship. That's why in the Bible it talks about keeping thy heart with all diligence. A pure heart can be developed through the honest transparency with God. You know, so we just go before him and say, Lord, here it is. This is my life. I think I'm headed on the right path. I think what I'm doing is right. I think everything that I got going on, this is how you led me. This is how you directed me. This is how you've done all these things in my life. I'm right on the path I think you want me to be at. Well, if we're on the right path, we're going to have the right heart too. If we're on the right path, we're going to have a pure heart. Because when we don't have a pure heart, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to be being led by God. So if we're on the right path, let's make sure that we have the right heart. How do we get the right heart? Is by allowing God to search us. Not asking somebody else. There's nothing wrong with accountability. Nothing wrong with asking someone else to help you. But if someone who loves you is going to help you, you know what they're going to have? And most times they're going to be a little bit kinder to you than maybe what God would be. Because they can't see. They don't know your heart. Many of you, I think, yeah, you got it. You're headed down the right path. But you know, God's the one that knows that. Your heart can be deceived. My heart can be deceived. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to ask God for help. As God examines your heart, the Bible says he will change the heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart to know me. When's the last time we really asked God to give us a heart to know him better? Like I said, if you fall in love with somebody, the desire and the interest is to know them better. Know him better. Know him more. And this is not just know what I want to know about them. Certain things I want to learn about my wife, maybe so that way it can make life easier on me. No, it's an honest heart. Man, that is a person I want to know. Once I've opened my heart to him, I must have a willing attitude to change the things he shows me to change. After making these changes, I must ask the Lord to guard my heart from temptations. So here it is. Do we have a pure heart? Can we really look at God and say, look to somebody else and say, look, I have a pure heart in this. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I just need some help. And I want you to help me through this. I've said that to people before. I don't know what else to tell you besides, you know, I think I'm right where God wants me to be. And I think I'm going down the right path. And you pray with me if you think that, if I'm not headed down the right path. And I need to check my heart. And maybe that person needs to check their heart. Once you have that pure heart and you're developing that pure heart, let God do it. He knows our hearts. He loves us. He's merciful towards us. He's a loving father. He will show us. He will guide us into the realm of having a pure heart. When you are close to God in this precious time, we must make sure we ask God to help guard our hearts. That's when we have this word, this verse, keep thy heart with all diligence. That idea of keep is a military term, meaning to guard it. It means that we put a gate around it. We watch our hearts at all time. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I know we talk about this all the time. You know, why do Christians struggle? Why? It's because our hearts can be deceived. We live in a society today that's becoming more and more and more wicked, more and more immoral. Where does it start? It starts in our hearts. Why do Christians struggle? It's because many times they live like the world for 6 days and they come to church for one day. Wrong attitudes can creep into our heart without the Christian even realizing it. Don't let sinful attitudes and even things that we may be interested in this world tune God out. Keep our heart with all diligence. It's changed a lot. I was reading, our society is changing so rapidly, and it talked about in 1946, anybody alive back in 1946? I know some of you were getting ready. They were getting ready to run the first runs of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Everybody watched A Wonderful Life. I know I've seen parts of it. I've never seen the whole thing. As the movie was being reviewed, there were some people who said that they were being censored. They should be censored before they go show that movie. And you say, Wonderful Life, it doesn't have any bad words in it. Well, think about it. Critics said that the words jerk, lousy, God, impotent, and garlic eater are considered bad and should not be used in a movie theater. And you can imagine those words today would be considered good words, probably a lot of them. You know, how did it change? I know, Pastor, you're talking about an illustration from what, 60, 70 years ago? And nowadays, you know, anything's pretty much left open for even on public television. That's why we need to guard our heart. Why do we need to guard our heart? Because the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, we set up parameters, we set up things for our home, and set up things for our family. We need to be careful. Why? Because we need to guard our heart. And yes, I think it's good to set up parameters and things that are good for our families, but not just for our families, but ourselves. As the head of the household, or as the dad or the father, yeah, I don't think my sons need to be watching that. But do I need to be watching it? You know, moms, you know, yeah, no, that's not good for you to see, but I can handle it. We need to keep our heart with all diligence. So if we truly want a pure heart, if we truly want to see God work, if we truly want to make sure we're on the right path, one of the things we need to examine is our heart. And what is the right heart for the right path? It's a pure heart because we can see God. And it begins with understanding what a pure heart is. It's without hypocrisy. It's also the development of a pure heart, which means I'm willing to let God look at it. I'm willing to let God teach me and show me. If God reveals something to me and shows me something, then I'm willing to change it. You know, sometimes when we go to the doctor and we say, doctor, this is what's wrong. And the doctor says, here it is. This is what can help you fix it. And you don't do what it is to take to fix it, and you still have the same problem, you're the one to blame. Same thing when God speaks to our heart about something, and we don't do something to fix it, we're the ones to blame. So last thing, is the destination of a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And my prayer is that this is our desire, is that we do want to see God. I know someday we're looking forward to seeing him and singing his glory and bowing down before him and casting our crowns at his feet, all those different things. But the spiritual man, there's nothing higher, there's nothing better, there's nothing more enjoyable in life than having the right relationship with God. No, he said, see God. No man seen God. He says, no man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So see God does not mean a literal viewing of the Heavenly Father. Even Moses in his presence merely saw the glory of God, the hind part of God. What the Bible is referring to here is simply experiencing a personal relationship and fellowship. Some preachers even call it an intimacy with God, a higher level of a relationship that you personally have with God. And we see God working in numerous ways in our lives. We see God all around us. We see God. That is amazing what God has done. There's some different ways that we can see God. People can see God. Number one, we see God in creation. When we look around, we see things and we're like, man, that's really pretty. But a person with a pure heart will look at something and say, it's just not pretty, it's the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You go out sometimes when I'm walking from home to come to work, and I look out and sometimes different skies, because different times when I walk down. And man, lots of times I think, wow, God is in control of all this. God has made all this. This is beautiful. This is awesome. This is wonderful. And you know what that does? It helps me understand I need to live for God. I need to submit myself to God. If he can control all this, then what? But oftentimes we don't meditate on things like that. We meditate on the TV saying, make sure you stand up for your rights. Make sure you do this. This is fun. Or do that. You know, meditation is a lost art form in many people's lives. It shows the handiwork of God. Through creation, you and I can see God every day. Another thing, we see God in circumstances. We can also see God in our circumstances. Someone who is pure in heart sees everything as sacred. This is hard for me, because sometimes people are going through very difficult times, very difficult things. They come to me and I want to weep with them. I want to encourage them. But at the same time, I guess they remember God's got everything planned. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if we're on the right path and something happens in our life, we can look at every event God has scheduled as something sacred. As God's hand is moving and working in all the affairs of men, even in tragedy, life is a series of appointments with God. A pure-hearted Christian is not cynical. He does not blame God. He does not question why, because he knows that God can work out all things together for his honor and his glory. Someone who struggles with having a pure heart will often become cynical. Someone who struggles with having a pure heart often becomes a scourge. Nothing catches God by surprise, and with him there are no accidents. So if we truly have a pure heart, we won't have a problem seeing God in creation. And some of us will say, oh yeah, I can see that. But do we meditate on that and realize if he created the whole world, then he created me too. And then shouldn't I serve him? And then we see God in our circumstances. Pastor, I can't see God in this. Ask him. With a pure heart, that's when you take our heart out and say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked ways. And God, as God reveals those wicked things to us, let's not just ignore it. Let's say, okay, God, I get it. I want to get rid of that because I want my heart to be pure. I want to get rid of that because I want to see you work. I want to see you move. I know it might have been there for a long time, but it's worth it to be able to be in that fellowship and that relationship with you. Also, we can see God in his word. The Bible says in his word in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is teaching, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. See, the scriptures will testify of God when Christ is not physically present with us. We know God through his word. Many times Christians will read other books. I like reading other books. But there is no replacement for the word of God. Listen to what one preacher said. You will not see God apart from reading his word, for the word testifies of him. You will not see God apart from reading his word. You say, well, yeah, I can see God in creation. You can't. But you're not going to have a pure heart to really understand him unless you see him in his word. Unless you're reading his word, you're not going to see God the way, because your heart will not be pure. How do you get your heart pure? It's by reading and the washing of the word of God. So let's look at a conclusion here. Have you allowed some things into creep into your life that you know need to be thrown out? Have you set up a guard around your heart? The highest joy of a man comes from cultivating the deepest part of the heart, part of the man, the heart. When the heart is pure, the vision is clear. Our deepest part is our heart. It's the center of our life. When we can learn to cultivate that to love God, when we can learn to cultivate that to be pure because we want to see God, then our vision will be clear. But the problem is sometimes the reason our vision is not clear is that our heart is not pure. As long as you have a pure heart, you can expect to see God work in your life. As we go back to the series, we can expect to be on the right path. We can be expected to head it down the right area. We're not being lost where we're headed. We won't be disappointed 20 years down the road when we're at a certain location and you say, the Lord's been with me all this time. Yeah, he's been with you all this time, but has it been good? Has it been joyful? Do you have testimony of what God's been doing, God's working? Or has your life been filled with torment? Has your life been filled with disappointments? And I'm not talking about physically, of course, talking about spiritually. Have you failed him over and over? Have you grown short? You know, that's why we need to examine our heart, because many times we're heading right down the right pathway, but when I look at my heart, it's not pure. And that's when a heart becomes filled with sin and cynicism and fleshly attributes, God cannot be seen where his presence felt. There's been times in my life I've been like, Lord, I need you. I don't feel your presence. I it's like there's a block there. And I'm like, God, where are you at? That's when I need to take out my heart and say, God, I want you to look at it. That's when I need to get more into the Bible. Say, Pastor, I don't understand it. And that's what you read it more. Give your heart over to the Holy Spirit of God. Go to those spots in the Bible that you know God's spoken to you before in the past and remind yourself. Quote those scriptures that helps you and teaches you and reminds you. I think experience the highest joy known to man is cultivating that relationship with God. Developing a right heart before God will allow you to go down a right path. But without the right heart, which is a pure heart, you're not going to be going down the right path. You're going to be heading, like I said, you can be religious to the hilt, but you're not going to be heading down the right path. In the end, you're going to be, how in the world did I ever get here? This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I gave my life over for. Let's look at our hearts. Let's pull it out and say this week, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? And ask him to show you. And as he shows you, he will give you a heart to know him. He'll give you a heart to change that heart. He'll give you a new look on something maybe you've had a hard time looking at before in the past. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these people. I thank you for their, Lord, they're so easy to teach to. Lord, they're attentive and they listen. And Lord, what a blessing they are. Lord, I know we all want to be on the right path. I know I don't like getting lost. I especially do not like investing and putting time and effort into something and not turning out the way I thought it was going to. Lord, in our Christian lives, many of us have committed much time, much resources, and much emotions into our Christian lives and into Faith Baptist Church and to our families. Lord, make sure that as we're committing those things and investing those things, that we are going down the right path. Make sure that we have the right heart so we can go down the right path. Lord, I pray you help us today. Help us to look at our hearts and say, okay, God, I've been holding it back, but with an open heart and open mind, search me. See if there's anything in me that needs to change. I know all the things that need to change in my family and in my mate's life and in my pastor's life. And I know all the things that need to change in people at work and this. But Lord, I can only control what happens in my heart and life. Search me, Lord. I'm open to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are a few minutes early, so that's not a bad thing, but